Thank each and every one of you for your presence. For we are certainly appreciative and encouraged by the presence of each and every one. As James also mentioned, we do have visitors among us, and we are delighted that you have chosen to come our way, and we hope that you will be encouraged and that you'll return during each and every opportunity that you may have. And before we get started with our lesson this evening, I would like just to take a moment to express to each and every one that if there would happen to be something said here tonight that you don't understand or quite agree with, for you to please feel free to approach me about that. For I will be more than willing to take the time to study or discuss any of your questions and or concerns. So having said that, I encourage everyone to take out your Bibles and prepare to follow along with our lesson this evening titled, A Good Soldier of Jesus Christ. And turning your Bibles there to 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul, in writing to Timothy, penned, beginning in verse 3, You, therefore, must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Did you know that Christians are soldiers of Christ? You see, Timothy was a faithful follower of the Lord, and Paul refers to him as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And tonight, there are many among us who have already enlisted in the Lord's army. You have already put Christ on through baptism. You are soldiers of Christ. And I want to take a few moments tonight to talk about some characteristics of a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And I begin by suggesting to you that a good soldier of Jesus Christ will follow the lead of their captain and obey his orders. Did you know that Christ is the Christian's captain? Well, follow me, if you will, there to Hebrews chapter 2. And there, the Hebrew writer informed us of this fact, beginning there in Hebrews chapter 2 and in verse 9. There we read, But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. Now pay attention to verse 10. For it was fitting for him, for whom all are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. You see, Jesus Christ, he is the Christian's captain. And do you know what that word captain refers to? It refers to a leader. And Jesus Christ is the leader and commander of his army. And a good soldier of Jesus Christ recognizes the fact that Jesus Christ is their captain. And they will be one who will always look to Jesus and follow in his example, which had been set by him. The Hebrew writer, again going on there to Hebrews, the 12th chapter, flip over in your Bibles, if you will, there to Hebrews chapter 12. And he exhorted Christians to look to Jesus there, beginning in Hebrews chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You see, the Hebrew writer was instructing those early Christians to continue to endure, to continue to keep on going on. And he encouraged them, as they ran that race, to look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And he goes on in encouraging them to keep on keeping on, to tell them to consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You see, running that race, Being a soldier of Christ, it's not always easy, is it? It's not always easy. There's going to be some difficult times. And just as Jesus endured those difficult times in his life, a soldier of Christ must likewise be one who endures and follows in his example. Peter, in writing to Christians there in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21, likewise encourages Christians to follow in Christ's example when he writes there in 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 21, "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously." You see, Jesus Christ, he was our perfect example. He gave us a perfect example in which to follow. And a good soldier of Jesus Christ will be one who will follow the example of their captain. And as John says there in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6, "He who says he abides in him," that being Jesus Christ, "he himself ought to also walk as he walked." In other words, John's saying, if you say you abide in Jesus Christ, you need to follow in his steps. You need to pattern your life after his. And you need to walk and live a life as Jesus lived. And a good soldier of Jesus Christ will understand that. And they will be one who follows in the example of their captain. But also a good soldier of Jesus Christ, they will be one who will always keep his commandments. You see, Jesus, in speaking to his chosen disciples there in John chapter 14 verse 15, says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." You see, a good soldier of Jesus Christ, one who sincerely loves Jesus Christ, will keep his commandments. And they will keep all of his commandments, not just some of them, not just the ones that they choose to keep, but they will keep all of the commandments of Christ. And may we be ever mindful of the fact of keeping partial commandment. You know what that equals? Not obedience, but rather disobedience. And may we be ever mindful of that. And a good soldier of Jesus Christ, they're mindful of that fact. And they'll be one who keeps his commandments. Notice what Jesus goes on to say there in John chapter 14 and verse 21. He says, "He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." Did you catch that? Those that keep the commandments of Christ, those are the ones who truly love him. You see, one's love for Christ will be demonstrated in their obedience to him. And a good soldier of Jesus Christ, they will keep the commandments of their captain. They will follow all of his orders. And Jesus goes on to say there in John chapter 15 and verse 14, "You are my friends if you do whatever I command you to." You see, ladies and gentlemen, I encourage those who have put Christ on in baptism, those who have enlisted in Christ's army already, to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And to never forget that Jesus Christ is the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9. You see, Jesus, he's not just the author of eternal salvation to some, not even to some who obey him, but rather he's the eternal author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. And we need to be ever mindful of that and never forget that. But I also suggest to you this evening that a good soldier of Jesus Christ will be one who will diligently drill. You see, just as soldiers in the military regularly engage in physical drill exercises, a good soldier of Jesus Christ will be regularly engaged in spiritual exercise. And notice what Paul instructed Timothy to do there in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Follow me, if you will, in your Bibles there to 1 Timothy chapter 4. And beginning there in verse 7, Paul tells Timothy, "But reject profane and old wives' fables and exercise yourself toward godliness." And he goes on to tell him why there in verse 8. "For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come." You see, a good soldier of Jesus Christ will be one who will diligently exercise themselves toward godliness. And they will understand the fact that just as bodily exercise profits, what profits most is spiritual exercise. That is what really profits. And a good soldier of Jesus Christ, they will diligently drill in the fact that they will search the scriptures daily. We have an example of this there in Acts chapter 17 and verse 11, where those noble Bereans of old, what did they do? They searched the scriptures daily. How many of you are doing that? Be honest with yourself. How many of you are picking up God's word and diligently searching through them each and every day? You see, I venture to say that many of us are probably neglecting to do that. And it's important that we recognize the fact that we need to be diligent in searching the scriptures. As soldiers in Christ's army, we need to be diligently drilling. We need to be searching the scriptures, and we need to be studying to show ourselves approved to God. There in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, Paul, in writing to Timothy, says, "Study to show thyself approved to God, a workman who needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." You see, it's important that we're diligent in presenting ourselves approved to God. And when we diligently search the scriptures, we will be on our way to have a better understanding of God's word. We will be better equipped to rightly divide the word of truth. And a good soldier of Jesus Christ, he'll do that. He'll be one who does that. And there will likewise be one who continually meditates upon the all-inspired word of God. You see, a good soldier of Jesus Christ, they're going to fill their mind with pure and wholesome things. They're going to be one who's going to be meditating constantly and continually upon God's word, rather than of the things of this world. They're not going to be filling their minds with filth and garbage, but they're going to be filling their minds with those pure and wholesome things. And it's important that we understand the importance of meditating on those kind of things. To illustrate that, I take us there to Psalm chapter 1. And notice these words of the psalmist there, beginning there in verse 1. We read, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night." Folks, wouldn't it be great if we were likewise a people who constantly meditated upon God's word day and night? You see, the psalmist says, "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and he meditates day and night upon his word." You see, the psalmist also brings out the importance of this there in Psalm 119. Follow me, if you will, there to the 119th Psalm. In Psalm 119, beginning there in verse 15, the psalmist penned, "I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will never forget your word." Folks, hold on to those words of the psalmist. And likewise, strive to be one who meditates upon the word of God. And be ever mindful of Paul's exhortation to Timothy, as we see there in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Go with me back to 1 Timothy chapter 4, if you will. And notice Paul's exhortation to Timothy beginning there in verse 12. He tells Timothy, "Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership." Now notice verse 15. "Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you." You see, we likewise need to be a people who give our attention to the reading, exhortation, into doctrine. We need to be a people who meditate upon those things. And we need to be mindful of the fact that when we focus upon and meditate upon the Word of God, it will be a constant reminder to us of the path and the conduct that we need to be making and taking as soldiers of Christ. But I also suggest to you this evening that a good soldier of Jesus Christ will be properly armed. You see, just as soldiers in the military are properly armed, likewise, soldiers of Christ will be properly armed, knowing that their weapons of warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God. Paul informs us of this there in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 10 with me. And beginning there in verse 4, Paul penned, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." You see, as soldiers of Christ, our weapons are not as the people of this world, but rather our weapons of warfare are mighty before God. And a good soldier of Jesus Christ, they will take captive and every thought of disobedience, and they will bring it. That thought of evil, thought of disobedience, into the captivity of Christ. You see, it is important that we recognize the fact that we must be properly equipped, and the soldier in Christ's army will be properly equipped by putting on the whole armor of God. Paul likewise instructs Christians to do just that, as we see there in Ephesians the 6th chapter. Go with me, if you will, there to Ephesians chapter 6. And beginning there in verse 10, Paul, in writing to those saints in Ephesus, wrote, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints." Now, I don't know about you, but have you ever known of any soldier who runs out onto the battlefield without their armor on? I venture to say you probably have not known of a soldier who volunteers to take the battlefield without his armor. And as soldiers in Christ's army, we must recognize the fact that each and every day our feet hit the ground, we're stepping onto the battlefield. You see, that devil, he doesn't want us to be serving God. He doesn't want us to be keeping God's commandments and serving Him. And he's throwing those fiery darts trying to hit us and trying to take us out. And we must recognize the fact that as those soldiers in the military, they wear the proper equipment. They wear the proper protection. They have their helmets. They have their shields of armor. The soldier in Christ's army likewise needs to be properly armed. And Paul tells us how to be properly armed here in Ephesians chapter 6. By being one who takes up the whole armor of God. He talks about the helmet of salvation. And he talks about the breastplate of righteousness. And we need to recognize the fact that we need to take heed to those words of Paul. We need to take up our armor and be properly equipped. And we need to be one who is always prepared and properly armed for battle. Go back there to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 13, and notice these words of Paul once more. He says, "Therefore take up the whole armor of God." Why, Paul? "That you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." In other words, Paul's saying, put on the whole armor of God and do something with it. You see, we need to be one who recognizes the need to take up and put on the armor of God. Not just some of it, but each and every piece of it. And we need to do something with it. We need to put it on, and we need to stand. And ladies and gentlemen, a good soldier of Jesus Christ will do just that. But I also suggest to you this evening that a good soldier of Jesus Christ will also courageously fight. You see, a good soldier of Jesus Christ will be one who fights the good fight of faith. And there in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12, Paul instructed Timothy to fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life. A good soldier of Jesus Christ, they will be one who will fight the good fight of faith. And they will be one who will defend the gospel of Christ. You see, the Apostle Paul, he was one who fought the good fight. He was one who defended the gospel of Christ. And a good soldier of Jesus Christ will likewise do the same. Notice what Paul writes there to the saints in Philippi there in Philippians chapter 1. There in Philippians chapter 1, beginning there in verse 15, Paul wrote, "Some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains, but the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel." You see, a good soldier of Jesus Christ, they're going to defend the gospel. They're going to contend earnestly for the faith, just as Jude instructed his beloved brethren to do, as we see there in Jude 3. And a good soldier of Jesus Christ, they will be one who will wage the good warfare. Notice what Paul wrote to Timothy there in 1 Timothy chapter 1. And there in 1 Timothy chapter 1, beginning there in verse 18, Paul, in addressing Timothy, penned, "This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare, having faith in a good conscience, which some, having rejected concerning the faith, have suffered shipwreck." You see, a good soldier of Jesus Christ, they're going to wage the good warfare. They're going to keep the faith. They're going to fight that good fight of faith. And they're going to lay hold on eternal life. They're not going to let anything get in the way of that. and they're going to be one who always keeps on keeping on, fighting the good fight, waging the good warfare. But I also suggest to you tonight that a good soldier of Jesus Christ will be one who will endure hardship. Going back to the beginning of the lesson where we read there in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3, the Apostle Paul, in writing to Timothy, wrote that a good soldier of Jesus Christ will endure hardship. You see, he wrote a good soldier of Jesus Christ must endure hardship. I like that word must. That's a key word. You see, it's not an option. But rather, a good soldier of Jesus Christ must endure hardship. Again, as we were discussing earlier, it's not always easy being a soldier in the army of Christ. There's going to be times where there's going to be persecution. There's going to be times when there's going to be affliction. There's going to be trials and tribulations of this life. But you know, this is nothing new. For Paul informed Timothy there in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12 about the fact that all soldiers of Christ will suffer persecution and affliction. When he wrote to him the fact that all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. You see, Paul didn't say that some who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution, but rather he said all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. You see, that includes each and every one of us. You see, soldiers of Christ must recognize the fact that there's going to be hardship. There's going to be difficult times. And they must recognize the need to endure hardship. There in Matthew, the 10th chapter, turn over with me, if you will, in your Bibles there to Matthew chapter 10. And there in Matthew chapter 10, we in context, we learn about Jesus sending out the 12. And Jesus knew when he sent them out that they were going to suffer persecution. He knew that there was going to be some hardship. He knew that there was going to be some tribulation. And in knowing that, he tells them there in verse 22, "And you will be hated by all for my name's sake." Now notice the rest of this verse. "But he who endures to the end will be saved." You see the necessity to endure hardship? You do, don't you? You see, and a good soldier of Jesus Christ, he's going to recognize the importance of persevering through those difficult times. He's going to keep on keeping on when the going gets tough. And he's going to endure hardship. The Hebrew writer there in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 36, he brings out the fact of the need of endurance when he says, "For you have need of endurance." Why? Well, notice, "so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise." Again, you see the importance and the necessity of endurance, don't you? You see, one must recognize the fact that endurance, it's commendable before God. Did you know that? Did you know that endurance is commendable before God? Well, notice what Peter says about this there in 1 Peter chapter 2. There in 1 Peter chapter 2, picking up there in verse 18, Peter writes, "Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh." Why, Peter? Well, notice. "For this is commendable if because of conscience toward God, one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. For what credit is it if when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, you will take it patiently. This is commendable before God." Ladies and gentlemen, hold on to those words of Peter. And let's be one who endures hardship. But last but certainly not least, I suggest to you this evening, a good soldier of Jesus Christ will be one who will pursue the victory. You see, a good soldier of Jesus Christ recognizes that the victory is in Jesus. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 57, notice what Paul wrote there. He says, "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Yes, my friends, victory is in Jesus. And a good soldier of Jesus Christ will recognize that the victory is in Jesus. And they will be one who is steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that their labor is not in vain in the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58. And they will be one who diligently presses toward the prize. You see, the Apostle Paul, he was a good soldier of Jesus Christ. He was one who diligently pressed toward the prize. And we learn about this there in Philippians chapter 3. Follow me in your Bibles, if you will, there to Philippians, the third chapter. And in Philippians chapter 3, beginning there in verse 12, Paul penned, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." As James would say, that's what you call single-mindedness. You see, Paul made that one thing that he did, that of pressing toward the goal of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He was focused on the prize. And ladies and gentlemen, a good soldier of Jesus Christ will be one who will be focused upon the prize. They will be one who makes that one thing they do, that of pressing toward the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And they will be one who will fight the good fight, keep the faith, and finish the race. The Apostle Paul, as we mentioned earlier, he was a good soldier of Jesus Christ. He pressed toward the prize, and he kept the faith, fought the good fight, and finished the race. Notice what Paul wrote there in 2 Timothy chapter 4. A beautiful passage of Scripture. There in 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 7. Paul says, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing." My friends, a good soldier of Jesus Christ will likewise be one who fights the good fight. They will keep the faith, and they will finish the race. You see, a good soldier of Jesus Christ, he recognizes the importance of pursuing the victory. And they will be one who diligently pursues the victory. So I now ask, are you a good soldier of Jesus Christ? Are you? If not, why not? Why not? You see, maybe there's someone here tonight who has not yet submitted their life in obedience to the Lord and his will. Maybe there's someone here tonight who has not yet enlisted as a soldier of Christ. You have an opportunity to enlist into Christ's army this very night. You have an opportunity to enlist as a soldier of Jesus Christ. You see, you have heard the word of God. And if you believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the one true living God, and you're ready to make some changes in your life, you can repent of your sins. You can confess Jesus Christ before men. And you can put Christ on through baptism this very hour. You can be baptized for the remission of your sins. You can be buried with Christ through baptism. And you can be raised up out of that watery grave to walk in a newness of life. You can enlist in Christ's army tonight. And ladies and gentlemen, may we never forget that the buck doesn't stop at baptism. But rather we must continue to remain faithful unto death. We must always keep on keeping on. We must be one who is immovable, steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And maybe there's one here tonight who already has submitted your life in obedience to the Lord and His will, but you've not been faithful. You've strayed from that straight and narrow path. You throw down your sword. You've stepped off of the being a soldier of Christ onto that battlefield for the devil. You're encouraged to get back on that straight and narrow path this very hour. You're encouraged to repent of your sins, to confess them to God and pray to Him that He forgive you of your wickedness. And if there would be one here tonight who would be subject to the Lord's gracious invitation, whatever your need may be, won't you let that need be made known now while we stand and sing the song Max selected.